KUAC presents Inside, Outside, a look at events and affairs from around the state of Alaska in the areas of the arts, science, culture, and entertainment. Now, here is today's program on Inside, Outside. This is Tom Duncan, and welcome once again to Inside, Outside. Here in Fairbanks, the 1972 Golden Days marked the 70th anniversary of Felix Pedro's gold discovery hereabouts. Many people, for reasons known only to themselves, figure that Pedro was one of the legendary lucky prospectors who stepped off the boat from Italy, made a beeline for Alaska, and struck it rich. Well, perhaps he was. But before Pedro made his strike at Fairbanks, he spent a considerable amount of time looking for gold in other Alaska areas which he had been told about by working and former prospectors. Why did Felix Pedro begin looking for gold in the first place? According to F.S. Pettyjohn in the February 1973 issue of Alaskana, Pedro began prospecting in the Tanana Valley on the advice of one Jack McQuesten. McQuesten, of Circle City, Alaska, was considered the dean of Alaska sourdoughs. He had arrived at Fort Yukon by way of Canada in 1873, less than 6 years after the purchase of Seward's Folly from the Russian imperial government. McQuesten told Pedro about the discovery of gold in 1878 by Arthur Harper and Al Mayo. Mayo and Harper were partners of McQuesten. The discovery had been made on a gravel bar on the Tanana River near the mouth of the Chena. He also told Pedro about some earlier discoveries made by the same Arthur Harper and a companion named Bates. These earlier discoveries were made in 1875. Bates and Harper had floated down the Tanana River from a point near its source. They had arrived at that point by crossing overland from Fetutland, which is now called Eagle, located on the Yukon River. That particular trip was the first recorded exploration of the entire Tanana River by white men. The two had found colors of gold on several sandbars, but they spent more time dodging Indians than they did in prospecting. Bates had employed Harper to make the trip with him. People at the time thought that Bates was actually a scout for a newly organized trading company, and that this company wanted to establish a trading station somewhere on the Tanana River. Bates organized the expedition on a quasi-scientific basis, and it is reported that he took copious notes and mapped the entire river during the expedition, but his findings and the map were never made public. Some 10 years later, in 1885, a series of map errors were made which played a most important part in the search for certain lost mines, and one of these lost mines was claimed by Felix Pedro. Felix Pedro had spoken of this mine to Judge Wickersham in Fairbanks some years later. In fact, it was around the same time that he made the gold discovery at Fairbanks. Judge Wickersham told it this way. We sat beside his little gravel dump while he washed a pan of gravel to show us he had gold on his claim. He told us the story of his long search for gold on the Tanana slope. Once before, he had found pay on a creek up Good Pasture way. His grub gave out, and he was forced to cross the range to Circle to get more. He hung his vest on a prominent peeled tree and set his shovel blade upright on the summit of a nearby hill, but he never could find them again, though he searched the region carefully on his return from Circle. And thus, Judge Wickersham and the world found out about Felix Pedro's lost gold mine, and Pedro's inability to find the mine, largely because of those map errors referred to earlier. The map errors came about after a small army expedition of five headed by Lieutenant Henry T. Allen crossed over into the headwaters of the Tanana from the head of the Copper River. While floating down the Tanana, they mapped it and named its tributaries, and one of these was named the Good Pasture, in honor of the Good Pasture family of the state of Kentucky. It flows into the Tanana a few miles northeast of the present-day community of Delta Junction. Lieutenant Allen's map was severely criticized in later years when it became obvious that a number of the tributaries of the Tanana were misplaced. But from its printing, in 1886, until the year of 1900, it was the only map of that area available to the public. The map was published by the government with his report in book form, but in limited edition, and very few copies made their way to Alaska. In fact, only two of the books were known to exist in the Yukon River area, and one of them belonged to Jack McQuestion. It was from this map that Felix Pedro made sketches of the Tanana River, which he used on his prospecting trips. In 1886, there began a series of prospecting expeditions which continued for several years. Many of the prospectors made their own maps, and some of Allen's mapping errors began to come to light. Other interesting things took place at that time, although no large gold strikes were made in the area. For example, in 1888, Jim Bender and Frank Dinsmore reported colors and flower gold on the bars of the Tanana River. But it was Dinsmore who first confirmed the exact location of a huge mountain mass called Denali by the natives. He correctly estimated it as the highest peak in North America. In fact, it was named Dinsmore's Peak in his honor until more than a decade later when it was officially discovered and renamed Mount McKinley. There was also a mix-up in names between which was the Volkmar River, named by Lieutenant Allen on that 1885 expedition after an army colonel, and which was the Goodpasture River. So it's hard to say which river Pedro referred to when he told Judge Wickersham about the lost mine. In 1899, when Felix Pedro outfitted at Jack McQuestion's store in Circle City, McQuestion told him of all the gold discoveries made in the Tanana, and a careful study of McQuestion's copy of the Allen map indicated that all of the gold, except for a find on the Big Delta River, came from the mountains northeast of the Tanana. And these mountains separated the Tanana from the mighty Yukon. Now, McQuestion knew about some gold finds located in the Goodpasture area, some 25 ounces removed off a river bar, and he knew about the gold discoveries at Tenderfoot, on the Saltjacket, and at the mouth of the Chena River. So Felix Pedro, using Lieutenant Allen's map, made a sketch of the country and in the spring of 1899 crossed over to what was the Goodpasture, at least according to the map copy that he'd made. Exactly where he found his gold is still not yet known, but Felix Pedro, by himself and with his partner Frank Costa, found gold on the Goodpasture, on Fish Creek, on Fairbanks Creek, and on several other creeks before he made his discovery on Pedro Creek, a few miles northeast of present-day Fairbanks. At two places did he state that he had hit pay dirt, or perhaps we should say that at two places did he state he had found pay. First on a creek flowing into the Tanana, up Goodpasture Way, and then on Pedro Creek. Historian Pettyjohn feels modern seekers of Pedro's lost mine might take note of the use of the word creek, since the Goodpasture is in actuality a river, the largest tributary of the eastern drainage of the Tanana. While the Volkmar, which appeared as the Goodpasture and vice versa, depending on which map one happened to be perusing, is rather small and could more likely be described as a creek. Hence, concludes Pettyjohn, it is quite likely that Pedro found gold not on the present-day Goodpasture, but on the Volkmar of modern maps, and it is probable that his pay was not on the river, but on a creek. Countless numbers have searched the Goodpasture for Pedro's lost mine. Years ago, John Adukovich, an early-day miner, prospector, and trader, found gold midway up the Goodpasture and moved in some mining equipment with a cat during the winter. After working a crew all summer, he earned only a few thousand dollars, a fraction of his investment, but it was obvious that he had hit a pocket. Outside of that one occurrence, and the flecks of gold found on sandbars by some sourdoughs in 1889, nothing resembling real pay has ever been located in that area. The search for Felix Pedro's lost mine apparently began in 1902, when Alfred Brooks' map, published by the USGS, showed the Goodpasture in its present location. The Volkmar River and its vicinity has received scant attention from the prospectors, and in all likelihood has never been searched for Pedro's lost mine. Pedro filed for his discovery at Eagle. This is how it first became known in 1902, but it's still lost to the present day. There's another part of this story which ties very closely to Pedro's lost mine, which concerns one Mr. Pringle, a geologist who was employed by the United States Geological Survey people. In 1902, he reported that he had found asbestos in the Yukon-Tanana region, 100 miles southeast of Fairbanks, and 20 miles north of the Tanana River. The find was described as occurring in a basic dike, composed mostly of serpentine with stringers of asbestos up to about 6 inches in width. He also reported that the deposit was several hundred feet wide and was of considerable extent, and was found on the Volkmar River. This description would fit several of the richest asbestos mines in Canada before they were developed, and many a search has been made for Mr. Printle's discovery, but to date, it remains, like Pedro's first gold find, lost. The map that Mr. Printle used during his explorations? None other than the erroneous map made up by Lieutenant Allen nearly two decades before. Printle's description places the location within an area with a radius of 10 miles between Central Creek and the South Fork of the Goodpaster River. Yet, nowhere in his writings of the asbestos does Mr. Printle even mention the Goodpaster. He did say that it was on a ridge which had recently been burned off by fire. Now, that particular area is heavily wooded, and even a recent burn-off would be completely covered by a dense growth of alders within a few years. Figuring a location 100 miles from Fairbanks and 20 miles from the Tanana doesn't place it in the immediate region of the Volkmar River. Was Mr. Printle using inaccurate mileage figures? Pettyjohn thinks not. He concluded that Felix Pedro's Goodpaster is in reality the Volkmar, and Mr. Printle's Volkmar is, in reality, the Goodpaster. Even though countless numbers have searched for the lost gold in the missing asbestos deposit, the mineral riches remain hidden away to this very day. But who knows? The legal price of gold has risen over $7 within the past 2 years in this country. European markets have spiraled gold values to the dizzying heights of over $90 an ounce. And government philosophies have been known to change with the times. Who knows? But would-be prospectors would be wise to consider the map errors. And although old maps sometimes lead to hidden pay in the form of gold, such is probably not the case with Felix Pedro's lost gold mine. I hope you enjoy today's program on Inside Outside. Next week, Inside Outside will feature a program entitled The Arctic Health Research Center, Why Us? An investigative report on the apparently doomed government research center located on the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus. At least until July 1st, 1973, it'll be located here. The next federal fiscal budget has not appropriated funds for the center and the landmark in the area of man's well-being in Arctic climes. Plan to join us next week at this same time for Inside, Outside. This has been Tom Duncan. This has been Inside, Outside, a report on public and cultural affairs in the areas of arts, science, and entertainment. Inside, Outside is a KUAC public affairs presentation and is produced for the University of Alaska Broadcasting Service.